Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And we're going to go ahead and read. We'll start reading the first three verses for now, and then we're going to kind of go through. We're going to go through and read some more here in just a minute. But for right now, let's go ahead and just read the first three verses of Genesis chapter 18. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for our time of prayer. We thank you for this Bible study that we have here. We ask for your wisdom and your help. And God, as we're not capable except it come from you, and Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to learn and to glean from the scriptures tonight. Give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at these first few verses here, and actually as we'll read down probably, Lord willing, depending on how far we're able to get down into verse 22, but we're seeing a couple of things, and as we get into the message, I want you to notice two things as we go and we study and we read this scripture. We're going to find, first of all, the significance of God's presence. We're going to find the significance of God's presence, and you'll see here that the Lord appeared and then two other men with him as well, most likely to be angels with him. But you'll see the presence of the Lord. Now let me say this before I go any further. The presence of the Lord is a special place. You see it spoken throughout the Word of God. And I love when you just get a special touch or a special anointing, or you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to somebody actually right before the service, and talking about how they watched a live stream, and my thought was, that is good, but they missed being here, and I can understand why, because I have not figured out through technology how to transmit the Holy Spirit through the live stream. Now, that doesn't mean that people listening cannot feel the presence of God where they're at, right? But there is something special about being in the house of God, right? I get that, and I can relate that. We went through that time, of course, last year where we were watching, our church as well had to go to live stream services earlier or only for a little bit. And we watched it, we did it, and it was a blessing to be able to stay tuned in. But it's certainly, we were excited when we were able to gather back together. And I know there's even still some now, and I know their goal is one day soon to be able to be back here as well. But nevertheless, there's something special about the presence of the Lord. And so we're going to look at that and talk about the significance of that. And then we're also going to look at the significance of his response. Now, the Bible talks about grieving not the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, I believe that it talks about that. When the presence of the Lord comes, how we respond to that is very significant. And what we see here is we see Abraham's response to the presence of the Lord, right? And so those are the two things. Keep those things in mind as we're looking at this message. We're looking at the significance of God's presence and then the significance of our response, or in this particular case, obviously, it's Abraham's response. So keep that in mind. First of all, we notice the visit from the Lord. Now, it's always a blessing, again, when we get a visit from the Lord. There's other places in the Bible. I mentioned even the other day, I think that I mentioned the other day, where Jesus passed by. You'll see many occasions where God showed up on the scene, and that is always a special, special moment. And we find that here in verse number 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre." Now, keep in mind that this place, Mamre, was also a significant place. This was the place where he had set up an altar when he got out of Egypt. He had set up an altar there. And, of course, this was also a place where he had purchased some land. And later on, that's where he buried Sarah in. So this was a significant place here. And this is where he was when the Lord appeared. Now, of course, for us, I think that there is a misconception. We feel like the Lord only appears in church, right? I don't believe that. Now, this is God's house, and we hope and pray that he does show up, right? We mentioned earlier, we're two or three gathered in my name, that he would be in the midst, and we certainly want that. We hope for that. We pray for that. And again, as you might hear me say often, we miss a lot of folks, but the most important one that we want here is not even me. It's not you. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we want that and desire that. Here he makes an appearance here, so we know that it was a special visit, a significant visit, but it wasn't just at any time. If you notice there at the end of the verse that he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. In the heat of the day. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of things kind of go through my mind when I'm in the heat of the day. Or we can, if you want to, if it helps you a little bit, you can say in the heat of the battle, right? In the heat of the day, I mean, if you're literally sitting out there in the hot sun, in the hot day, you're wishing you're not in that situation. You're hoping for something that is refreshing, right? I mean, if you're hot, you're in the heat, probably you want to find some shade. You know, I'm assuming that if he was at the tent door, maybe he had positioned himself where he was receiving a little bit of shade in the heat of the day. That's clearly what the Bible says. You know, we normally don't see it, say that, but I believe it was significant when it specifically said in the heat of the day. And what it reminds me of, church, is that oftentimes you'll find when you're in a difficult situation, when you're in a tense moment, we don't expect something to happen. We don't expect everything to always come through. But what I've come to find out how good God is, that's often when he shows up. I'll give you another example. And again, we're trying to make a spiritual application from what we read in the scriptures. If you look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, they literally were cast into a burning fire furnace, were they not? And if once they were in there, do you remember the king? He asked the question. He said, did we not cast three into the burning fire furnace? He's probably remembering it, thinking, did I forget how to count? Because I thought we had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I see a fourth man loose. And the form of his visage is as the Son of God. Now, how he came to that conclusion, I don't know. I believe he did come to the conclusion that that certainly was the presence of God that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a literal fire, and not just a fire, I think, physically, but also spiritually, I think that they were going through a fire. They were in the heat of the moment, if you will. They were in the heat of the day. Have you ever been in a situation where, boy, you were really about to say something in the heat of the moment, and then you felt the presence of God come through and said, you know what, probably best to just keep your mouth closed, right? I thank the Lord that he's done that to me before. Now, part of my problem, again, that's the significance of the Lord's presence. But my response wasn't always so well, too. I wish that I could tell you that every time the Lord said be quiet, that I was quiet. Right? And so here we see that the Lord shows up in the heat of the day. I'm thankful that oftentimes in our life, that's when we feel and see the presence of the Lord as a great reminder. Now, just an overview here. This isn't really one of the main thoughts. The biggest reason why I see the Lord came is to reaffirm to Abraham that he's going to still have a son. At this point in time, and again, I don't know everything that's going on in Abraham's mind, but you know, your mind tends to race in those kind of tense moments or those heatful moments, if you will. But I believe that the Lord's main purpose for coming was to reaffirm his promise to Abraham, as he tells him later on, that he is still going to bear a son and that Sarah is still going to conceive. That's a great time to remember the promises of God, church. When you're in the heat of the moment, when you're in the heat of the battle and in those difficult situations, that's a great time to remember what it is that God said that he would do. His word is true. God's word has never failed, and it's not going to start today. But as you see there, we see, first of all, the presence of the Lord or a visit from the Lord. But then I also like the response from Abraham. And of course, we read up to verse 3 a moment ago. And it said in verse 3, and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. In verse 4, he says, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. So we do see a humble response from Abraham here. We mentioned, again, pay attention to the significance of the Lord's presence, and then also the significance of the response. The response that Abraham gave was a very humble response. First of all, he addressed himself as a servant, right? You know, it would do us good if we looked at ourselves and we had the mentality that we were all servants, because the truth of the matter is we actually are. If you're interested in serving the Lord, if you're interested in serving Christ, all of us are a servant in some way, form, or fashion. But that was the response that he gave. I believe it was a humble response. He addressed himself as a servant. And then what else did he do that was significant? Verse number 4, he requested, hey, let me get some water. Let me come and wash your feet. Why don't you come and rest under this tree? Again, it's the heat of the day. It's hot. When he says rest in the tree, obviously he's saying, hey, get under the tree, get a little shade, you know, let me come and wash your feet, okay? So, again, if you study the Bible, you know the Word of God, you'll know that any time that feet are washed, that was also a picture and a sign of humility. You see, I say, Pastor, why does that matter? Why is that significant? Because when the Lord shows up, generally one or two things have happened. Either we respond to the Lord in humility and obedience, or we grieve the Holy Spirit of God and go the opposite of what it is that the Lord is trying to do, and oftentimes respond with a hard heart or just, I don't care, or it doesn't matter, or I'm going to do what I want anyway, which is really rebellion, right? So really either we're responding with humility. When we do that, we're saying, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to your will. I'm going to submit my will to you. Or really, essentially, we respond with rebellion and say, Lord, I'm not going to do what you want. It doesn't matter that I feel your presence. It doesn't matter that you showed up in the heat of the moment. It doesn't matter that you showed up when I really needed your presence here and you're trying to do something in my life. So if we respond that way, then honestly, church, there's really no other way to get around it. We are responding out of pure rebellion. We're either going to submit to what God wants, or we are going to submit to our will. We're either going to do God's will or our will. It can't be both. So that's why we say pay attention to what we're looking at the significance of God's presence and the significance of Abraham's response. And this, what was significant about his response was that, Lord, I'm your servant. Let me come and wash your feet. That is a response of pure humility. So we have to ask ourselves, when the Lord speaks to my heart, and this is honestly what concerns me. I mean, you go through years of preaching, you know, you can see that God is dealing with somebody. You can see that the Lord has showed up their way, the Lord's passed by their way, however you want to call it or classify it. You can see the conviction, and you're concerned about the response. And oftentimes they will ignore it. Oftentimes they will put it off. Oftentimes they will say, well, another time. They'll procrastinate. And friend, the reality is, if God's dealing with you about something and he's come by your way to show you something or try to show you his will, then my suggestion, friend, is to submit to the Holy Spirit of God. So we see, first of all, as we're going along here, we've noticed the visits or the presence of the Lord. We've seen Abraham's response. I want to talk for just a moment here, and again, just for the sake of time, we're not going to cover everything here. Let's go down, if you would, to verse number 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Remember, we said the main purpose was the Lord coming to reaffirm the promise that he had already made to Abraham. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. All that simply means, church, that she was past the years of being able to conceive. Verse number 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Verse number 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Let's go ahead and pause right there. A lot is happening here. First of all, I want to remind you there, did you notice there where it says in verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself? Within herself? You know, that tells me that there wasn't necessarily a loud laugh that people could hear. But yet God knew it. God knew that she had laughed. Church, that's a reminder to us that God truly knows the condition and attitude of our heart. You may be able to come to the house of God and fool me. You may be able to come to the house of God and fool your other fellow church members. You know what? There's times you can even fool your wife, but you cannot fool the Lord. The Lord knew what was really going on. The Lord knew that she really thought that what he was telling Abraham was just so outlandish, that sounded so ridiculous to her that it actually made her laugh within herself. I'm way past years of bearing children. How am I going to have a child? So we see, first of all, it's a reminder that God always knows the condition of our heart. But second of all, it's a test of our faith. Obviously, I mean, she stopped believing. In order for her to get to that point to laugh within herself, she somewhere along the way had to stop believing that God was still going to do this. You know what happens sometimes is we have a family member and we've been praying and praying and praying and we stop believing that God will save them, so we quit praying. Why did we quit? Why did we stop? We need to continue in prayer. I mean, with the things that we're seeing more today, church, well, we ought to be constantly on our knees begging God, you know, shedding tears, whatever we have to do, going to God, fasting and praying. Lord, save my lost loved ones. Save my family. Now's not the time to back up from that. Now's not the time to quit. Because what I'm afraid is somewhere along the way, we've lost our faith believing that God will actually save them. Or that God can save them. And he can. He can. But here, somewhere along the way, Sarah had lost her faith. She had to. If she had not lost her faith, this would not be a comical situation. I don't think it's that she was laughing as in to really mock God. I think if she was laughing because she just thought it was just so beyond what is possible, it sounded so ridiculous to her that it made her chuckle, made her laugh within herself. She lost it. In other words, she really didn't believe that she was going to have a son. She'd already accepted the fact, I'm not going to have my own son. Friend, again, it's a reminder that God knows the condition of our heart. Second of all, let's be careful. Just because we've prayed for something a long time does not mean that God will not answer that prayer. Some of the best testimonies I've ever heard is families praying for their loved one for years. And yeah, maybe it was towards the end of their life. Maybe it was on their deathbed. And then somebody was able to come by and present the gospel and they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So keep on praying, church. That's really intended to be an encouragement to you to keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Just because we pray, you know, we're guilty, I think, sometimes of praying one time and then, okay, Lord, I prayed. Where's the answer? The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We don't got time to get into that study. We're going to address some of that on Sunday morning on dealing with the subject of substance of prayer. We've seen the visit from the Lord. We've seen a humble response. And now what we're seeing here, I love the question that the Lord asks in verse 14. And keep in mind, when the Lord asks us questions, it's not for his knowledge. It's for yours. Or it's for ours. When Abraham and Eve had sinned, and he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Do you really believe that God did not know where Adam was? That question was for Adam. That wasn't for God. It wasn't for his personal knowledge. We're talking about an omnipotent God, meaning he's all-powerful. We're talking about an omniscient God, meaning he's all-knowing. And we're talking about an omnipresent God, meaning he is literally present everywhere. So when he asked that question, he wasn't asking Adam for his question. When he asked this question here, is anything too hard for the Lord? That wasn't for his personal knowledge. That wasn't, hey, do you really think I can do this? No, that was for them. That question was for them. But the question is asked there. So what we're witnessing here, church, is that God can take an unnatural situation or an unnatural miracle and make it natural. What's unnatural to us is normal to God. God is essentially saying, I'm going to perform a miracle. It's unnatural for Sarah at this point to bear a son. Oh, but you see, that's no problem for the Lord. In fact, that's where the question comes in. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So we see here, and often, let me actually remind you this before I move on, we often will see this during the heat of the moment, during a difficult time. You know, look at how many stories in the Bible where God did great, wonderful things out in the wilderness. Sometimes we think, well, I'm out in a desert place, or I'm just in a remote place, you know, physically or even spiritually in my life. Let me just remind you that oftentimes that's where we've seen God's greatest miracles answered. Amen. Then the next thing that we see, of course, it's a simple question. I referenced it just a second ago. It's just a reminder of God being all powerful. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then he goes on to say, at this time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. What we're also seeing there, church, is a reminder of God's grace, really. Because at that moment, he could have said, you know what, Sarah, since you don't believe me, then I'm just going to go ahead and withhold my blessing. Right? Could God have done that and been just? Sure he could have. That's not what God said. He said, you know what, I'll be back at the right time. You know, I'll be back when the time is right. It's not right now. But it's another reminder of God's grace. There's a picture of God's grace. He could have easily said, you know what, if you're not going to have faith, if you're just going to laugh, if you're not going to believe, then I'm going to withhold my blessing. But he did not do that. Then, of course, as we read on here, I want to touch on a couple of things here as we get down into let's go ahead and go down to verse number 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. It was generally custom when you had a guest and they were to get on their journey that you would travel with them for a little while. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now notice verse number 19, for I know him. Now, I actually think that's a tremendous statement. It's a reminder that the Lord knows us. It's a reminder to us that the Lord knows us better than we even know ourselves. I don't know about you, but I don't have the numbers of hairs on my head numbered, but the Bible tells me God does. Right? I couldn't tell you that if you asked me. I couldn't give you that piece of information, but the Lord could. But he says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The other thing that's important to remember, you know, again, we've been talking about the heat of the day, that really taking that thought. In the heat of the day, we see the significance of God's presence. In the heat of the day, it's a significant how we respond, and then we discuss some of our thoughts on that. But also, it's important to remember in the heat of the day what we need to do to survive. Now, you know, I touched on this just a little bit in a whole different direction. But if you're, again, out in the desert and you're stranded or you're in the heat of the day, you're going to do something to try and survive, right? I mean, who would just want to sit there and do nothing? You're going to walk. You're going to go somewhere. You can try to find shelter. You're going to do something to try and survive. The thought that I want to share with you here is there's some things that I believe that Abraham did in order to survive the influence of Sodom. The influence of Sodom. Because you see, it would have been very easy to give in to what Lot had already done. And we'll kind of touch on that later on. Not tonight, but as we continue along. It would have been easy for him to give in to the influence of Sodom. The reason why I mention that, why I think it's important, because it would be easy to give in to the influence that we're seeing in the world today. There's a lot of influence out there. There's a lot of, you know, people say misinformation. I don't believe it's just misinformation concerning things that are happening in the country. I think there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to the Word of God. And for the record, That has been going on since the beginning of time. From the very moment we see the devil said, yea, hath God said, he attempted to cause, and essentially did, cause a seed of doubt in Eve's mind. Start to question God. So the devil has challenged the word of God since the beginning of time. So essentially, of course, let me ask you this question. Who is the author of confusion? Satan. The Bible teaches us that Satan is the author of confusion. So he has tried to and attempted to give this misinformation since the ages of time. This is not a new development that we're talking about here. But here's a couple things if we're going to survive in the heat of today, how to survive the influence of Sodom or the world. First of all, if you notice there, it says that he will command his children and his household after him. You know what that means? Is that means that we need some men who are going to stand up for what's right. We need some men who are not afraid to say, hey, that this is just not right. I don't believe that honors the Lord, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to go in that direction. Amen? We need some daddies that have some backbone today, fellas. I'm not trying to be ugly, but we need some dads that's got some backbone. If you want to survive the heat or the influence of the world today, we're going to need some daddies that have some backbone today. Let me also say something. Some people probably won't like this, and you may not agree with what I'm about to say, and that's okay. It is not my job to be my children's friend. I am their father. Okay? There's a difference in the relationship between a friend and a father. Now, we do a lot of friendly things together. Last night, we went and played some basketball. I love to spend time with my children as much as possible, do what I can with them as many times as I possibly can. But my relationship with my children is not to be their friend. If I come into this idea that they're my friend, you know, friends a lot of times will say things just to validate how you feel or just to confirm that what you want to do is okay. As a father, I may or may not do that. I'm going to take, first of all, the Bible and the Word of God and line it up and say, hey, what you're trying to do and how you're trying to live is not right and it doesn't please the Lord according to the Word of God. That is my role as a father. And that is much better or is much more significant, I should say, than a role as a friend. Friends are great. Friends are a blessing. I'm just telling you that these four children sitting on the front row, God gave them to me so that I can be their father and teach them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? So what we need today is we need some fathers who are not afraid to see a few tears flow every now and then because they want to stand up for what's right and hurt feelings. Unfortunately, that's part of it sometimes. So we see that Abraham... God had that confidence in Abraham that he would do that he would survive that. He says, for I know him. What a blessing that God was confident that Abraham would lead and command his family in the right way. That he will command his children and his household after him. That is literally what God said. The other thing that we see is that, of course, he would command and lead his family in the right direction. But then it says, and shall keep them the way of the Lord. There's people doing things a lot of different ways, and the Lord was confident that he would do things God's way. God's way. In the Lord's direction, in the way of the Lord. In other words, he is going to not just lead, but he's going to continue to teach the biblical principles. He's going to continue to teach how it is that God wants his family to live. Now, the advantage that we have is that we have a copy, a completed copy of the Word of God. Abraham didn't necessarily have that, right? But he taught his family, not just led them in the right direction, but he taught them the way of the Lord in the way that God wanted them actually to live. So he said, for I know him, and he will command his children and household after him and shall keep the way of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of. So we see here, we've talked about several things, the significance of the Lord's presence. It's a special time and a special place when the Lord comes and deals with your heart. What is also significant is our response. And we see here a couple different ways how Abraham responded. The first way he responded with an attitude of a servant. The second way he responded with humility, thus a picture of showing the Lord, I'm going to submit your will. I'm going to be obedient to your will. And then, of course, we also see that that is even more confirmed in his leadership and his direction and his attitude. Even God can say, hey, I know that Abraham is going to do right. I know that Abraham is going to do right. So these are just some things for us to remember in the heat of the battle. Hey, don't count the Lord out. Don't think, well, just because I'm in the heat of the moment, I'm in the heat of the battle, that God can't show up, that God can't do something. We see that God showed up. We see that God performed a miracle here. And then he validated his promise to Abraham. So several things to remember when we're in the heat of the day. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give you a moment tonight. Maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart tonight. Maybe you felt the presence of the Lord. Maybe God spoke to your heart about something particular. It may not even been anything we even talked about tonight at all. But if the Lord is dealing with you, the best advice I can give you is to obey, to listen, and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. If God's dealing with your heart about something, then I recommend do that, friend. If you're here tonight, never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we do want to invite you to come. We want to invite you to come. Be happy to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Whatever your need is tonight, friend, I want to encourage you to submit to the presence of the Lord. If God's dealing with you, if he's passed by your way and showed some things in your life, how about you, friend? Folks already praying. Maybe God's speaking to your heart. How about you, friend? Be obedient to the Lord. Like that old song, it says, trust and obey. Trust him tonight and obey him tonight. Maybe tonight you're in the heat of the day, you're in the heat of the battle. I don't know what your need is, Fred. Again, I love where the psalmist said, at what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Maybe you're facing a trial or circumstance, or you're in the heat of the day. Friend, the biggest problem is not that you're afraid, the biggest problem is that we don't trust. It's normal to be fearful. That's normal. He said, at what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Let me remind you, the Bible says that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Turn it over to the Lord. Submit to him. All right, church, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house again this evening. And Father, I do pray, God, that you would just continue to do work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that Lord, when you come by our way and we sense your presence, we sense you dealing with our hearts, Lord, that we would not have a hard heart, that we would not have a spirit of rebellion, but Lord, we would have a spirit of humility, willing to submit to your will. Father, I pray that you continue to work and do a work that only you can do in our church. We pray for safety and protection as we go home, go our separate ways, and those that are already traveling. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Amen.